wrestling all the time and going to music and doing stuff that I actually like.
So the music festivals and whatnot, I've kind of gotten out of.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of years of doing it for a living, working venues, and then working security. It just literally killed me.
I bet, man. You see the other side of it. You're behind the curtain at that point, and you're getting to see all the shitty parts of it.
Some of it I fanned out, like fanboyed to, but a lot of it's like, this is terrible. Can you guys stop?
Like what?
Like what did I fanboy out to?
Yeah, like what did you fanboy out to, and what did you say? Oh, can you guys just fucking stop?
Oh, so like. Bands like Every Time I Die, when they would play, I'd be like, oh my god, that's Andy right there. Oh shit. But I mean, I wouldn't say anything to him because I gotta play it cool. Like,
yep.
Oh, what's up? But and then like the fans, I think what really killed me.
Yeah.
Because they're just awful.
In what way?
They just, I don't know how to explain it. It's one of those things that if you see it, you're like, oh, that's what he's talking about. They're just, I don't want to use this word, but I'm going to, extra. Like white girl extra.
Like Becky extra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just too much.
Dude, it's a, when I go to a music festival, it's fun, but it's at the same time, I try to keep to myself and I really try not to make new friends. Not in a bad way, because I know that everybody's on their own journey and all that, but I'm very sensitive to taking on other people's problems and stuff. So when I'm at a festival and I'm probably inebriated, I'm probably not sober. Most 10 out of 10 possibility of me not being sober. But at the same time, like I understand that I'm doing it for me and I'm not trying to meet somebody to fulfill like an extroverted need that I have. If I bump into you and we connect, that's great. But like my purpose there is to actually go and see the music that I like to go and see. But it's, that and professional wrestling are two of the things that have always carried me throughout life. And with that, I know that we're just kind of doing a rolling start. My name is Luke Burton. I am joined by Steven the Psycho Fury. And today, guys, this is our first episode of our podcast that we're going to be doing bi-weekly called Wrestleology. And I know that when we first met, I know that I've known you for about like 2 years, but we connected.
Has it been that long?
It's been that long. And I'm pretty sure that you didn't like me.
Well, to be fair, I really don't like a lot of people. Like, if I think I have a couple friends they'll be like, yeah, he didn't like me at first. Like, I don't like a lot of people. But I think it's because I don't want anybody else in my circle. Like, I have my circle, and for somebody to penetrate my circle... to penetrate my circle, it takes a lot. It takes a lot. I mean, it took you and I a while before we actually talked.
Right. And I think that it's very funny, and I always feel weird when I talk about it, especially recently, because we've been just watching a ton of wrestling lately, especially with this WrestleMania week. We live in St. Petersburg, which is the city right adjacent to Tampa. So we went to two independent wrestling shows, and then one, I went to WrestleMania, and then we watched it together. And the one thing that, but to get back to our story, but the one thing that actually got us connected was professional wrestling. I saw, you're covered in tattoos. For people that don't know who we are, Steven is covered hand to toe in tattoos, and he has a Vader tattoo on his ankle. On your right ankle?
Left
ankle.
Inside ankle, yeah.
And I looked at him and I was like, dude, do you like professional wrestling? And he was like, I love professional wrestling. And then we started swapping like YouTube channels that we watch, and I was like, oh man, this is I don't know a lot of people that like professional wrestling the way that I do. And that's what we're getting into with this first episode, is just kind of getting to know both Steven and I, because the aim of this podcast, and I know that we've talked about it a lot, is giving context to what has happened in professional wrestling with the past, for anybody that's new that's coming into professional wrestling that doesn't really know where to start, because I know that with episodic television, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown not written very well on a consistent basis in the storylines. And then if you go online, every wrestling journalist, such as like Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer and all these other guys, a lot of people really like to crap on WWE and praise AEW. Some of it is deserved, but I also think that some of it is because they're trying to pop a rating, and it's the easy thing to do is to kick WWE when they're down. So what we're trying to do is make it so that if you are not into any of that stuff, where you don't really understand the office politics or the behind the stage portions of everything, or even just the history of professional wrestling, that we're giving you a place to give context to the past so that you can understand what's happening in the present.
Now, don't get this wrong. We are no wrestling historians.
No.
We have just done hours and hours of research.
But well, that just makes us sound like wrestling historians at this point.
Yeah,
but,
well.
But I understand what you mean, because at the end of the day, we're doing this because of how much I'm doing this. I can't speak for you, but I think that I can speak for both of us at this point, is that we love, like, this is a passion of ours. Professional wrestling is something that I've loved. It was actually my first memory. Have I told you this story?
No.
Oh my God, dude. So my first memory is watching Mick Foley fall off the Hell in a Cell.
That's crazy.
That's my first memory. So I always tell people that I didn't choose professional wrestling. Professional wrestling chose me. And I was sitting with my dad and I saw him fall off it. And I've kept this like child's whenever I watch it, I feel like that 3 year old that was sitting with his dad watching the King of the Ring, and Mick Foley gets thrown off. They put him on a stretcher, and then all of a sudden he gets off the stretcher, he climbs up the Hell in a Cell, and then he gets choke slammed right through the Hell in a Cell, which wasn't supposed to happen, by the way.
Oh, but yeah, that was insane.
That was insane. The cage came literally undone, and he goes through the cage and hits the ring and knocks himself out. And the thing that I remember most that I still carry with me to this day is the shot of him when he's like trying to get himself back up, and he's like pulling himself up on the ropes, and his head is between the first and the second rope. They do a close up on his face, and you just hear JR say, and he's smiling.
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley had hit his head so hard that he bit his lip and wanted to see if he could put his tongue through the hole that he made in the bottom of his lip, and he looked like he was smiling from ear to ear. And that memory, I know that that sounds like a car crash and a horrible thing to watch as a 3 year old, but at the same time, I have kept that level of love and mysticism around professional wrestling ever since. And it really has been the one thing in my life that has really never let me down. Which is kind of crazy. Every Monday night, regardless if it's good or not, I can watch professional wrestling if I really tried.
Well, I've been... To add on to that, with the way that wrestling schedule is now, there's always something. YouTube, on national television. As of right now, on national television, it's 5 days a week of wrestling, with the weekends seem to be almost every other week with the
pay-per-view.
The pay-per-views. It's insane.
It's unbelievable, man. Because it's because I remember growing up, and you were talking about this earlier, is that we actually grew up in like two different households with professional wrestling. Yeah. I grew up, so I'm originally from Delaware, and my dad and I grew up watching professional wrestling. He was raised in Delaware, and he watched professional wrestling on Saturdays. And it was, you know, Hulk Hogan and George the Animal Steel and all these different characters. My grandfather remembers going to see Bruno Sammartino, you know, like stuff like that. Like, but your parent, you're more so from the South. So you grew up in a house with the WCW on.
Yeah, I grew up in West Palm Beach, later moving to Ocala. But my stepdad at the time, he was from Iowa, which was weird all on its own. but he was super into WCW. So, like, you had Ric Flair and who else was on WCW at the time? It was Sting, Luger. Yeah. Well, Luger was Luger came from WCW.
Yep.
And then left to go back to WCW. But yep. Yeah, so like we had all those guys like Dusty Rhodes and just
the old Southern,
just the old Southern wrestlers.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's what I watched a lot. My first memory of wrestling.
Yeah.
I remember it. We were living in Iowa. It was only for a year that we were living there. And it was, and this is what made me fall in love with wrestling, was this exact moment. I remember my stepdad turned the TV on and wrestling was on. It was an old WWF. I want to say it might have been Monday Night Raw at the time, but I could be incorrect. It could be a Saturday thing or something.
Yeah, whatever.
It was some kind of replay because it was super late at night.
Got it.
And it was Undertaker coming out. And his entrance in the 90s, man, that I was hooked.
Now, was this Undertaker with the goatee? Was this Ministry of Darkness or was this right before that?
No, this is before all of that. This is like Undertaker with the mask.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
when he was in the transition from being like the gingered Undertaker.
Yeah, this is like the early 90s.
Wow.
Yeah, this is, so my love has been there. And then just growing up, we would watch WCW, but during commercial breaks, we would watch Raw and then switch back and forth. And then later it got to the point of the way our house was set up at the time was there was the living room. And then the living room TV was right next to my bedroom door. So what we would do is we would turn my TV in the bedroom to the living room and bring it out a little bit. So we would have both going at the same time.
This reminds me a lot of what you do right now or what you did for Wednesday night.
Oh, this is what I do a lot of the time because I can't decide what to watch and I don't like recording things because my luck is I'm going to forget to watch it and then I'm going to read some article that spoils it. So in my office, I have my computer and I have dual screens and then I have my iPad and then I have a TV that I play video games on usually. So on nights that there's multiple wrestlings and I don't know which one to watch, I will literally have all screens going at once.
I'm to blame for that because I was last night when I was doing research for the second episode, I had AEW on in the background, and then whenever it was the commercial, I would work on both screens, and then when it wasn't the commercial, I would just put this one on so that I would put my computer, because I have a laptop set up to where I can run an HDMI cord to the other TV or to the other monitor, and I would work off the bigger one and then just watch it out of the periphery of my eye. So I'm watching that whole Jericho versus Cash Wheeler. Is that what his name is? Or it's Dax Harwood?
Incredible match, man. Jericho can sell ice to an Eskimo, if that's even appropriate to say.
I think so, man. And it's so funny because the evolution of him has been... You remember when he debuted on WWE?
Absolutely. He was my favorite wrestler at the time.
Oh, man.
I loved his entrance. I loved his music. I absolutely loved the Walls of Jericho. The way he did it,
like the lion's hammer where he put his knee on your back.
Yeah.
It looked painful. And especially the way that he's selling it, it looks like he's putting everything into it.
I loved it. It was everything about him. I'm not much of a flip kind of guy, so when he did the lion's salt, I was like, cool, but it's not my favorite.
It's also not that big of a move to where it's like, you can do that. Anybody can do that, like realistically.
Especially at that time, there were so many high flyers.
Of course, you're having Rob Van Dam. You had a whole cruiserweight division that he came from. He, because that's the one thing that I have done as I've gotten older. I've gotten to go back and watch stuff that I didn't watch, like watching old Jericho and old cruiserweight division stuff from where it was like Psychosis, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio, La Parka, Dean Malenko, Juventud Guerrero, you know, all those guys. And I remember when I was a kid, when I was growing up, when I was around like 12 to 14, I don't remember exactly, but when the ECW documentary came out, and that was my first experience of like going back and getting like wrestling tapes, because I remember doing it as a kid when I would go to the video store and get all the WrestleManias and the SummerSlams and the Survivor Series box sets, and I would watch them, and I would basically run these tapes to where they would almost break. Like, it was like to the point where my parents, like, I would have to like try to convince them if we could just keep it, and they're just like, no, we got to return it, but you can get a new one if you get it, if you go back. And I was like, oh, that's a great deal. Okay. I get to watch more wrestling. But
so when it came to tapes for me,
yep.
So one of the deals my grandparents did for me to move to Ocala, because I did not want to move from West Palm, is my grandmother. I mean, it was a culture shock. At the time, there was nothing in Ocala, whereas now Ocala is pretty built up. But it was a culture shock. So my grandmother, she was like, Steven, if you move, we will buy you a VCR for your bedroom. And I was like,
that's a pretty sweet deal.
Cool. And the VCRs at the time, they were
expensive.
They were, yeah.
Yeah, man. I remember.
So I was like, cool. So then I got some VCR and some blank tapes. So I would literally record every wrestling thing on the same tape and just watch it that whole week, because there was no other way to watch wrestling at the time. YouTube wasn't. No. It might have just been at its infancy.
No way. It was 2004 was when YouTube became created.
Yeah, I was saying, never mind. It wasn't even at its infancy.
The internet was barely a thing.
Yep, I'm that far back where internet, we didn't even have internet in the house. Like, I take that back. We did. We did have internet. We had AOL.
You had one computer.
We had one computer, and it was in the living room. And it was a piece of shit because of all the porn that my brothers and I would look at that took us 20 minutes to load one picture. Old dial-up.
And you had, and the way that you would install it was through a disc. You remember that? And you get 30-day free trials of AOL. Yeah.
So, to get off topic for a second, speaking of AOL, I don't know how it happened or if there was a mix-up with them. So my family got AOL for free.
Really?
I don't know how it happened. We just never... I asked my mom, I was like, oh, how much is AOL? And she goes, Steven, I don't even know. We haven't paid for it in months. And we just kept having AOL. And then once we upgraded our internet to cable, I had AOL and cable. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I never had to wait to sign online to get into a chat room or to instant message my buddies.
That's crazy. I remember I was at the tail end of that with it. I remember I remember when I was a kid, I would play a lot of video games, like these turn-based like story games that were basically like Disney and different, like I remember Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was a big game that I played.
On PC.
Like when like PC gaming wasn't really like a thing.
Oh, nerd over here.
A little nerd.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Hey game. Man. This is when Regis was still hosting. But then I would look up WWE.com. Like I would go on WWE.com and they would like let you know when like you could call into a hotline. You remember the hotlines?
Oh, I was not allowed to call the hotline. I didn't even ask because I didn't grow up the richest. So when it cost money, I did not like asking my parents.
Yeah.
At all. So I always saw $3.99 a minute or for the first minute. And I was like,
I never called I don't remember calling the hotline. So I'm just going to assume I didn't because like one thing that I don't know if you've noticed this about me, but I have a extremely good memory.
Yes, I have noticed that.
Yeah. Like I'll remember things like in passing in almost like full detail. But I think it just comes down to the fact that like my parents are salespeople. I'm a salesperson. Like my family has been like three generations of just like car salesmen. Like not even joking you. My grandparents, my great granddad started the car dealership that we have now made into a chain up in Delaware. And every generation has had, besides my generation, of course, has had a Burton work and help run the operation. And I just, I know that that's probably me in my head saying, making a justification of like a predisposition of like skills, but I am like a, I'm a people person's people person.
Yeah, you absolutely are. Where I am, I'm not at all.
Like if we were to equate it to a wrestling duo, I'm Shawn Michaels, you're Diesel.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought about this earlier today. Or you would be more of my Jim Cornette to Vader.
Yeah, that's a really good. Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm.
You don't talk at all. I don't. If you're around
I'm not
strangers.
A big talker, and people tell me I'm not very approachable, which I'm okay with.
So to that point. We were at a show the day before WrestleMania, and it was at the Egyptian Shrine Center. I think it's in Riverview, or maybe it's in Tampa, Florida. I don't know exactly what city it is, but it's in a suburb of Tampa. And we
part of Tampa I've never even
it's
been
never,
to.
It's like it's in the hood, but the building it's very nice. Like it's very nice.
It's newer.
Like. The bar still smells like piss, but. They just need to clean that. But we were there and we saw these guys that we had seen wrestle at a even smaller independent show run by a wrestling academy here in Largo, Florida, which is another town right next to Tampa. We saw them and I went up and started talking to some of the guys that were there and basically complimented them for their work because that, even if they're not very good right now, like, I'm not trying to shit on anybody, but, like, you could tell that they were just trained, and this is one of their first shows. And that takes a lot of courage to not only go and do your own show, but to go and do 4 months, a minimum of 4 months of training at the wrestling academy that they are at, and then to pursue that in their own personal lives. Like, you're putting yourself out there, and also you're fucking taking bumps. You're doing something that is extremely difficult on your body, and you can get hurt, and you're not getting paid probably anything for that show.
No, and I think that's a lot. Because I would love to train to be a wrestler. I really would. But what's on my mind about that is I'm a little bit older.
Yeah.
So taking bumps is not anything I want to do.
No. I get that.
I want to be the monster heel that never takes bumps.
I mean, you look like it.
Good. I could be a monster heel that never takes bumps.
I think that I've figured it out because I've thought about it. The reason why I brought up the Wrestling Academy is because I'm probably in the next couple of months going to sign up once I get the capital to figure out like how I can pay the amount of money for it. To do that and at least be a weekend warrior. I have a goal of mine that might be a little bit irrational, but my goal of mine before I die, once I get trained, is to make it on to television for a major promotion, whether that be ABW, ROH, WWE, whatever, and it not be a squash match. And I think that realistically, even if it's like AEW Dark or I'm on ROH or I got a PWG or whatever, and I'm not assuming anything because I haven't even started. There's a lot of guys that bust their ass on the road and they never get a shot. So I don't want to take away from these people and their craft. But like just having that goal and like having something in mind and being able to develop a character, like it's been especially the more that I've gotten to know about professional wrestling and the more that I've grown to love it for different reasons, like that is probably now more than ever been the most intriguing part of it for me is like how the intricacies of somebody's character align or conflict with somebody else's development and character. And it's in the way that they weave a story into that with physical, with the physical illusion of violence. It just, I don't know what it does, man. I don't understand it within myself. I know I love it. And I think it's because it makes me feel like a kid again. But I also think that at the end of the day, it is probably the most primitive form of storytelling out there. You know,
I agree. I mean, there's something about the mystique of, you know, that it's predetermined. You know that they're not, some of those are not really hitting them, but they get really close and you're like, there's something, I might have used the wrong word, mystique might not have been the right word, but
I mean, but there's an aura around it.
Yeah, like when you're like,
where you have, man, it's this, the
illusionists.
Yes. Like it's suspending belief. Like you, and I don't know, I've talked a lot, so I'm going to leave it to you before I comment, but what makes you suspend your belief when it comes to professional wrestling? Because it's such a weird feeling when they have you, do you forget like what else is happening in the world? Like, cause I completely, like, I'm so focused and present in the moment when that happens.
It depends. Like if it's a really good match, then yeah, I don't care what's going on anywhere else. Like,
yeah.
I have a 3-year-old and he'll be calling me like, hold on, just a minute. Let me stop. Please. Like, actually, that happened last night with the Darby Allin-Matt Hardy match.
Dude, that was such a good match.
I mean, it was Darby Allin, like, bringing on the spirit of Jeff Hardy almost. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't pull away. Like, I had things to do. Like, I had to give my son a bath. I can't pull myself away. Like, it was incredible. Like, I don't know how it happens, but it just does.
It's nuts, man, because I think that when I geek out over two things with it, and when it suspends my disbelief, what I've noticed within myself is, one, if it has a good story. Like, that's probably the biggest one, is that if I can figure out the story, like what the shell of like the direction that we're going.
Yeah.
And figuring out like the dynamic of the match, I will let my guard down to try to figure out that. Like, after I figure out that, I don't care what the outcome is. And I have people that I cheer for and that I really care about with their characters because I think that they're so well developed. Perfect example in AEW. I am a big fan of Adam Page, and I'm very vocal about that. I love Adam Page.
Yeah, you are.
I think that the character development that he is doing is so good. Like it's almost like Bret Hart level, like the way that he's building this character, and he hits so hard. It's like if Bret Hart and Steve Austin, like, morphed themselves into like the perfect wrestler, it would be Adam Page, because he has hard-hitting offense. It all makes sense. There's no wasted motion, even when he does like the flippy shit, right? When he does like a moonsault, or he goes and cannonballs into somebody, or even the buckshot lariat. Like the buckshot lariat, I don't care what anybody says, but this is because I loved, like, I thought that JBL, the clothesline from hell, was the best finisher in the business because it was the most believable one.
Like, I also can't, like, I hate anything JBL does. I don't like him as a person. I don't know what it is about him that just literally, it's like a hot poker to my nutsack. I can't stand that man. Oh, sorry. No, I just it's had all to get good. That out there.
No, but like, it is the most believable, the buckshot lariat. So what Adam Page does, if you haven't watched and you do not know what we're talking about. So he is grabbing the top rope. He basically slingshot front flips himself into basically a running clothesline, which decapitates literally everybody that wrestles him.
It's pretty intense.
and it's always done well. It's always done well.
You can just always, if you still don't have any idea, just give it a Google.
Just give it a Google. And do, not just give it a Google, do Adam Page top 5 buckshot lariats. Because you'll probably find some ones where they turn inside out.
Or just watch a whole Adam Page match.
Oh my God. It's fantastic. Especially the one versus Chris Jericho, where it was for the AEW World Heavyweight Champion.
Their first pay-per-view, right?
Yep. I believe it was...
All Out or All In?
No, it was All Out or Double or... I can't remember. So, sorry, guys. Just, you got to look up Adam Page versus Chris Jericho because it's the only match that they've done so far. And it is unbelievable storytelling. And it's also heartbreaking. It's also the catalyst to what you see in his character development. So it's a really good jumping off point for AEW just to watch that entire pay-per-view in itself. But I guess that where we go from here, I know that we've been talking for a little bit, is if you were to tell somebody, especially we right were, now.
Let me interrupt you real quick. To fix one of our mistakes, it was neither all in or all out. It was double or nothing.
Oh, wow.
Of May of 25th, May 25th, 2019. And he didn't wrestle Chris Jericho that event. It was it must have been another event.
No, he wrestled Kenny Omega for the number one championship.
That's right. It was two matches they had a fight. You're right.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Shit, what a man.
Wild night.
There's just so much wrestling now. Like, I know that we're talking about like this being an intro for everybody and getting to know what we're about. But really, there truly is a lot of professional wrestling out there. Like, AEW does two YouTube shows that have almost no storyline backing because all of the people that are on there are their lower tier and lower card talent, or even independent professional wrestlers that they're just trying to get the content out there for them so that they can have content for their YouTube channel. I know that there is a lot of old, like, Major League Wrestling and even new Major League Wrestling, but
I tried to watch it. Some of it's their style of wrestling is it's sometimes hard to watch. It's good. It's just
the new stuff.
Yeah, MLW.
Yeah.
They have some great talent. It's hard sometimes.
Well, it's hard right now. It'll be hard until they get a crowd back.
Yeah.
Because right now you're watching it and there's no crowd.
It makes a
huge difference. And I think that that's a big part of professional wrestling that I like as well, and something that what I find to be interesting about it is that it's crowd work at the end of the day, right? You're pumping up a crowd to react to these big moments, and especially if you go to a wrestling event, I don't know if not right now with an independent wrestling event, but if you were to go like to All Elite Professional Wrestling, you were to make the drive or to make the flight over to Jacksonville, or if you were to go and see a WWE pay-per-view, it's unbelievable. It's second to none. Like, the amount of energy and like just the amount of excitement.
It's crazy too, living in Florida, the amount of wrestling we can see, because we got AEW in Jacksonville.
Yep.
We have WWE. They were in St. Pete. Now they're in Tampa, but you can't go to any of those. And then I just found out actually today when I watched Major League Wrestling, they're out of Orlando.
Yeah, they shoot in a nightclub in Orlando.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure I know the nightclub. But and then you have NXT, which is, I want to say it's in Orlando.
Yeah, it's in it's at Full Sail University. Full Sail,
that's right.
And then you have there's a lot of independent wrestling promotions and a lot of independent wrestling schools because a lot of wrestlers live in Florida, especially mm-hmm. in the Tampa, Orlando area.
Yeah, it's a hub. Batista here. Hogan has his restaurant on Clearwater.
Yep. The Nasty Boys live here. Yeah, mm-hmm. I went to high school with his daughters.
Were they nasty?
No. They were very.
That was really dumb. Sorry. I apologize.
They were very nice. Jeremy Sags, if he's listening to this, can beat both of us up because he's the only man that is reportedly known to knock out Ken Shamrock.
Really?
In a fist fight? Yeah. Look that up right now. Just to check me. He knocked him out in an airport.
Like a street fight style?
Yeah. Like. They got in a tussle and he knocked him out in an airport.
Ken Shamrock, huh? Let's look that up.
The world's most dangerous man.
I gotta see this. Came close to losing his life. Brian Knobs and Jerry Sags. Wow.
The Nasty Boys.
He was knocked out and they still beat the shit out of him. Wow. Hell yeah.
It's hardcore, brother.
The last time I saw Ken Shamrock, this brings me on the topic of Ken Shamrock. I want to say it was TNA, and he was getting his dick grabbed with that dick grab move.
What, Joey Ryan stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it was super weird, and he just really stood there screaming, and then did this little like weird hip thing and tossed him.
Basically tossed him?
Yeah, it was, I don't like it that. It was weird.
I don't like that.
I'm all about some dick grabbing, but...
But not with my wrestling, okay?
Yeah, man. Like, people make fun of it and call it, like, oh, you like dudes wrestling in their underwears? Sure, whatever you want to think it is. But you don't have to take it to that level.
No, but to be fair, I mean, it is, like, the most homophobic, homoerotic thing that you could do. Because everybody wants to pretend that it's not the... And I might sound like a bigot by saying this, but there a lot of people are pretending that it's not like the gayest thing that you could watch. It's totally the gayest thing that you watch. Like, it's literally like two dudes in spandex wrestling on a giant mattress.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of some of those like dramas. Like, one of my favorite shows is The OC.
Okay.
You know, California. Yeah, I just love it.
But I was actually talking to Chris. So we actually go to a Cava bar around here, and Cava is just an alternate, just for the sake of not dragging this out and getting too far off topic. But Cava is an alternative to alcohol, and it doesn't get you inebriated. It's basically a sober bar. And Chris is one of the bartenders there. He also does... he does like the seamstresses. He's like a seamstress for Disney on Ice and different companies. He
for a works second there, I was like, "Who are you talking about, Chris?" And now it's like,
you know,
Duh.
But Chris is funny. He was like, "Yeah, it's a male telenovela or like one of those Mexican soap operas."
It's exactly what it is. It is a grown man soap opera.
Like, the best way to put it is, like, if you have ever watched South Park, there's an episode where they make fun of professional wrestling, and they make it seem like it's Greek or Roman, like, gladiator drama theater with Vince McMahon, like, pulling the strings and...
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah. But to get back on topic and almost wrap this thing up, I think that the aim of what we're trying to do here is This is an introduction to who we are, because this is going to be mostly a research project for us in order for us to impart a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of history to people that are looking to get into professional wrestling. And I'm really excited because I get to learn more about the thing that I love and get to understand more of like these storylines and these power dynamics and backstage politics that go into professional wrestling. And that's something that really excites me. I know that we were talking earlier, but just to get a little bit more of your perspective, what are you most excited about when it comes to doing the research and getting to know more about professional wrestling?
I was getting super pumped just seeing some of the names
that
had to do with the origin of in the United States wrestling, like it's still names that you see today. So it's crazy to think that this lineage goes back all the way to the beginning of wrestling in the United States.
Right.
Which is insane to me. And I absolutely love that. Like, I think I sent you a text about, could you believe this person like right here?
No, it's so funny, man, because when you sent me that text, cause I've done podcast by myself in different areas and different subject matters that I was trying to look up and interviewing people that interest me and doing one with another partner. But in none of those categories except for one, but it was really difficult because I was having to deal with musical artists. I couldn't really get into a rhythm with it because I was always relying on somebody else or I was doing something that really didn't align with like what I was interested in. And I think that this is such a good outlet for me to be able to have an excuse to not just watch the thing that I love, but like produce something that is related to the thing that I love the most, you know?
Yeah, I'm super excited about it because it gets me out of the house. Because I only go to work in the Cava bar. Mm-hmm. So getting me out of the house is always good. It's probably good for my mental health.
I mean, your wife said that you're nicer because you've met me.
Let's not tell the world that.
I know that you want to stay hard, but...
Yeah. Stay hard.
Stay hard. And with that, y'all, I think that we're going to wrap this up for the first episode. Thank you guys for listening. My name's Luke Burton.
My name is C. Fury.
You want to try that again?
Yes. I was
what
saying
happened?
It.
What happened?
I don't know.
Your eyes were so locked into that. But
I was
mouth
so committed. And then it just didn't happen.
All right. My name's Luke Burton.
I'm Psycho Steve Fury.
And this is Wrestleology. Thank you guys for listening. If you like what you hear, give us a like, share, subscribe. Take care. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
And booyah!